Amazon ReMars, the global event for machine learning, automation, robotics, and space.
This is your tech news briefing for Thursday, June 16th. I'm Zoe Thomas for the Wall Street Journal. More and more cars on the road have driver assistance technology, systems that are supposed to make driving easier and even pave the way for fully self-driving vehicles. But is that tech keeping drivers, passengers, and pedestrians safe? New data from auto safety regulators are raising questions about that. On today's show, our autos reporter Ryan Felton joins us to discuss what this new information about crashes suspected to involve driver assistance tech does and doesn't tell us, and what it could mean for developments in autonomous driving. That's after these headlines. Another big tech company is pulling back on hiring. Streaming giant Spotify will slow its pace of new hires by 25%. CEO Daniel Ek told employees about the plan in an email Wednesday, according to a person familiar with its contents. The company isn't laying anyone off, and the slowdown comes after a hiring spree over the last year, largely in its R&D team. And in his email, Ek said the company would still grow and hire, just at a slower pace. Taiwan's Foxconn broke ground on its first electric vehicle battery plant on Wednesday in a southern part of the island. Foxconn is known as a major iPhone assembler, but it's been taking steps to move further into the booming EV industry. Its chairman says the company's goal is to build an electric car battery supply chain in Taiwan. Foxconn is also building electric car manufacturing bases overseas. It recently acquired a factory in Ohio from the cash-strapped EV maker Lordstown Motors. In other EV news, batteries from old electric vehicles are getting a second life. Our reporter Julia Petroni says big automakers like Nissan and Renault are teaming up with energy companies to repurpose used EV batteries to build energy storage for wind and solar plants.
The idea is basically to store power for when the sun isn't shining and the wind isn't blowing. So old batteries previously used for EVs could both help address the electronic waste challenge and meet increasing demand for raw materials. This basically envisions a fully circular, sustainable life cycle of three stages where EV batteries are first used on the road, then they're potentially repurposed for other applications, such as energy storage for the grid, and then eventually they are recycled.
Ukraine is in negotiations with several European nations to relocate more databases outside of the country to protect them from cyber and physical attacks from Russia. Since the start of the war, Ukraine has moved around 150 data registries from government ministries and offices, or backup copies of them abroad. It's also in talks to have that data transferred. That's according to Ukraine's Deputy Minister of Digital Transformation. And Google says more than 1.5 billion people watch YouTube Shorts every month. That figure puts the company's short video service roughly on par with rival app TikTok. Other social media platforms have also been competing in the short-form video space. Facebook, for example, has Reels. Our reporter Miles Krupa, who covers Google, says the company has a lot riding on Shorts.
It's hard to sort of underestimate how big of a threat TikTok has been to both YouTube and Facebook. It's really taken this young demographic that is frequently online and diverted their attention away from incumbents like YouTube. So for YouTube to get some of that attention back, they need to be devoting resources to growing Shorts and then finding ways to grow ads on Shorts. YouTube's recent advertising revenues have underwhelmed Wall Street, so investors are looking for new signs of growth in the business, and YouTube Shorts seems to be one of them.
All right, coming up, Tesla is leading the race when it comes to adding driver assistance tech to its cars. But what does that mean for driver safety? We'll discuss after the break.
At Bridgestone, we are accelerating our efforts to create a more sustainable future for generations to come. Learn more about our Bridgestone E8 commitment at whatreallymatters.com.
The U.S. government has released its first-ever survey of crashes suspected of involving advanced driver assistance technology. Leading the pack, so to speak, is Tesla. Cars made by the electric vehicle company accounted for over two-thirds of the nearly 400 crashes in the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration survey. So, what's behind all these crashes, and why are Teslas involved with so many of them? Joining us to discuss this is Wall Street Journal autos reporter Ryan Felton. Hi, Ryan. Thanks for being here.
Thanks for having me.
So this isn't technically autonomous driving. What features are we actually talking about?
There's two types of systems. I think that's probably the best way to talk about it. There's one that is generally referred to as like advanced driver assistance features. So that would be something like lane keeping, which is just to sort of keep you within the center of a lane while driving, and combined with something like adaptive cruise control, which is like your standard cruise control, but it adjusts based on the car in front of you. So that's one side of the systems that are being looked at. The other is much more advanced driver systems that I think could be considered autonomous, but it's very limited. So, for example, there's a company called Cruise, which is owned by General Motors. They have a taxi service in San Francisco where they are ferrying around people in completely driverless cars and are operating at under 30 miles an hour. So it is something that's much more advanced. But in that instance, those types of cars aren't being sold to people. They're just sort of being used in commercial type services.
So Tesla made up about two-thirds of the crashes on this survey from the National Highway Safety Administration. Do we know why Tesla is making up such a large part of this list?
Yeah, the hardest thing here, I think, about the data is the agency doesn't have the sort of numbers that would help contextualize things a bit more. So, for example, they don't have total vehicle miles traveled per car. So that's one denominator that's missing. It also doesn't have the total number of cars that each company makes that are equipped with such features that would be subject or covered by this order that required them to submit crash reports. So with that said, Tesla is a company that's deployed this sort of technology for many years now, where other automakers and manufacturers have only much more recently put them into cars. And so just by sheer virtue of the total number of cars on the roads, you know, approaching close to a million in the U.S., I think it's something like 830,000 have this type of technology in Teslas that are on the road today. And then also Tesla, unlike other companies, has much more sophisticated abilities to see what happened in a crash remotely, whereas other companies, other car makers have to go and physically just get the data out, extract it out of the car.
So Tesla has more cars with these features on the road, and they know a bit more about the data for why they've crashed. Has Tesla commented on this new survey?
At this point, it hasn't. We haven't heard anything from them. Tesla's long said that its, and they call it autopilot, system is safe to use. And Tesla puts out this report routinely on the safety of what it says is the safety of autopilot, but there are a lot of researchers who question the company's methodology behind that. And so it's just a really tough nut to crack.
So beyond Tesla, what does the data in this survey tell us?
I think one important point is just that more of this technology is being deployed into vehicles sold on the road today. There was about a dozen companies that reported crashes, not in small numbers either. I mean, Honda, for example, there were 90 crashes that were featured in reports submitted by the company. Subaru had about a dozen. And that's just a testament to the fact that these features that just, you know, a handful of years ago weren't common are becoming more common.
So are regulators drawing any conclusions or going to be taking any steps because of this new data?
Yeah, that's a good question. I think when the agency talked with reporters about it, they were doing two things, basically saying and stressing not to derive any sort of conclusions based on this data at this point, while at the same time saying just how useful the data is to them and that they're able to take all these sorts of measures to, you know, root out any potential safety issues, like a first step of sorts to for the agency to better understand what's actually going on with this technology.
I mean, but if I'm a driver who has, say, adaptive cruise control or one of these other driver assistance features in my car, should I be thinking twice about using it when I'm driving?
Yeah, I don't think the agency said that these tools aren't necessarily, you know, unsafe just because they're on the cars. It's just sort of what the driver is comfortable with. I mean, if you don't like the idea of your car being able to slow down in response to another car in front of it, I mean, it definitely can be a little awkward at first. So many cars nowadays can park themselves, like parallel park themselves. I mean, you know, it's definitely weird. So yeah, I think it's just your own comfort level, but I think also knowing what this technology can do and can't do.
You know, we're talking about these driver assistance features, and you made the point that this is different from some of the self-driving technology that's being developed, but it is kind of supposed to be a precursor. So where do these challenges kind of leave the development of self-driving technology?
Yeah, that's a great question. I think it remains to be seen, which isn't a very satisfying answer, but, you know, I think what the data shows is just that, particularly when looking at the self-driving technology crash reports, I mean, it's just there's a long way to go, I think, to kind of get to that next stage where it's more widely adopted and deployed outside of just these sorts of commercial services at this point.
All right, that was our reporter, Ryan Felton. Thanks for joining us, Ryan.
Thank you.
And that's it for today's Tech News Briefing. But before we close out the show, a reminder that we're looking for your questions about the crypto sector. Do you want to know more about how these digital currencies really work? Curious what steps regulators are taking to maintain order? Or maybe you just want to understand what's behind the recent collapse in so many crypto values? Leave us a voicemail at 212-498-8852. We'll be answering questions from listeners like you in an upcoming episode. Once again, that number is 212-498-8852. We look forward to hearing from you. I'm Zoe Thomas from the Wall Street Journal. Thanks for listening.
I asked what kind of family she wanted. She said, a family like yours.
Learn more about adopting a teen at AdoptUSKids.org. You can't imagine the reward. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, AdoptUSKids, and the Ad Council.